You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to assure us that He is preoccupied with people. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, today in the sort of lectionary system, the system of readings that we use here at University Lutheran, there was a possibility to not do these readings. There is a possibility because today so happens to be the commemoration of Matthew, the writer of the Gospels. And so there was a whole other set of readings that we could have looked at that all talked about Matthew instead of what we got this morning. And that was fine, except for the fact that I didn't realize that until it was too late. Because otherwise, had I looked at these readings and looked at Matthew, I think we would have been talking about Matthew this morning. But really, these are challenging readings. I mean, they're 100% challenging. Like, just about every one of them we read, and there's a little piece of us that just sort of maybe, like, oh, boy. At least for me, as the guy who gets to be up here and tells you about them, there's a lot of those readings that are like, what is going on? How do I take God's word in these readings and apply those things to my life? How do I apply those things to my life in a way that it resonates with me? And I think there's something there. I think that there's something there. If we look at these readings, that we can go, oh, yeah, there's something to this. Otherwise, we really would have been talking about Matthew. But I think that these readings actually get to something very important about our relationship with God and His relationship with us. And I think what we have to do is we have to see the whole forest instead of just the individual trees in order to do that. And I think the only way that we can see the forest is by starting to look at the trees. So let's look at some of those four trees that we got this morning. The first one is Amos. Now, Amos is a really fun book of the Bible. It's probably not one that you read for fun, though. Amos, his whole jam is that he is this guy who is a farmer. He's in the southern kingdom of Israel, and he sees extreme wealth in the northern kingdom of Israel. Extreme wealth because of this guy named Jeroboam II. Now, Jeroboam II is this great military leader. He has ruled with an iron fist. He's picked a couple of fights, and out of those fights, he's taken over some land, which has meant that his own people have become very wealthy. And in their wealth, they've started to do all sorts of crazy things, including taking advantage of one another. And so that's what he's writing about in our Old Testament reading from Amos. He's saying, woe to you, the people that are sort of abusing and exploiting other people. If you look at that reading, what you see in the midst of that is that Amos and God are calling out the people of Israel for taking advantage of the poor. And in that, there's kind of this moment where you get the sense that they're just in church. And, well, they're just waiting to do something nasty. They're even planning on doing something nasty while they're in church. Because what Amos is saying in this reading is, you know, you can't wait until the Sabbath to be over so that you can take advantage of the poor. We can, you know, we can charge people for, we can mess with the balances so that people are paying more than what they need to in order for the amount that we're giving them. This is sort of like when you go to the grocery store and you pick up a bag of chips and you find out that most of it is air. It's kind of that feel of like, oh, there's something that's not correct here. And that's what Amos is calling out. I mean, the people of Israel that Amos is calling out are really, really capitalistic in the bad way, in a way that actually isn't sustainable for capitalism. It's this thing where what they're doing is they're looking at the short term and they're not looking at the long term. They're looking at taking advantage of the people around them, and Amos is saying, well, that is bad. And to the point that when you look at that entire reading, that's basically the only thing that you get out of that reading. Now, normally speaking, when we're in church together, and this is maybe a thing for you to watch when you come back here Sunday after Sunday, and normally speaking, you kind of get, you know, a good mix of two things. You get a mix of the law. So God telling me what to do, how I should live my life, what it looks like to be righteous, those kind of things, and gospel. And gospel is the thing where, okay, I know that God has my back. I know that God is for me. I know that God sent Jesus Christ in order to redeem me. Most readings have those things that are in pretty equal amounts. Here in Amos, not so much. Here in Amos, you just get a lot of, no, stop it. You're being dumb. And that's what we're getting here in Amos. And so that's kind of the first leg of this four-legged stool that we have in these readings. Now, the second one is much nicer. You know, it fills us up a little bit more. It's not just a prophet that's yelling at us. It's instead a worship leader. A worship leader who is encouraging the people of Jerusalem to praise God. I mean, this is, you know, the psalmist so often is just the hype man in the worship service. You know, if you're old enough to remember Flava Flav, like, think Flava Flav going to the people of Israel saying, praise the Lord, yeah, boy. For those of you that don't know Flava Flav, look it up. It's pretty awesome. But you have this kind of sense of like, oh, we're really wanting to praise the Lord. You know, he's saying it over and over again in order to get them hyped up, in order to get them to do it, in order to get them ready to actually praise God. He's encouraging them, sort of like I probably should have encouraged you when we were reading this all together, because a lot of times I say, praise the Lord, and you kind of come in, praise the Lord. But this is a praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, that kind of moment. So let's do it. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Pretty good. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Much better. So that's what he's doing. He's hyping him up. He's getting him there. And why is he getting him there? Well, he gives you the reason at the end. The reason at the end is not because God is so great and he's above the earth and all of those things. But at the end, he gets down to the reason that we should praise the Lord is that he comes to visit those who are lowly. He comes to visit those who are powerless. He comes to visit the people that are oppressed. That's why we praise the Lord. Because if we're honest with ourselves, that's us. Maybe not financially. Maybe not relationally. Maybe not in a lot of ways. But we recognize that there are ways in which we are the lowly, we are the needy, we are the people who need stuff from God, and God has deigned himself to come and to visit us. So that's all great. Second leg of the stool. Third leg of the stool. Oh boy. Here we go. Paul talking about people. Paul starts off talking about men. Starts off talking about how things are supposed to go in church. And as he's talking about those things, he's bringing up some really good stuff. In fact, in the history of the lectionary, that system of readings that we use for church every Sunday, it usually stops with the guys. But recently, there's been a development to include the entire chapter, and the entire chapter then goes into all of this information about women during Paul's time. And what he is looking at for them. Now, we could talk about this for a long, long time, and I will be hanging around here for like half an hour if you have bigger questions on this. But in the meantime, let me say this, that what Paul is wanting for that congregation that he's talking to Timothy about is that he is wanting them to live quiet and harmonious lives. He is not wanting one gender to take advantage of another, because that would fly in the face of the Amos reading, that would fly in the face of what's happening in the Psalm, and it would fly in the face of what we learn in the gospel. So when Paul is writing these things, he's encouraging his church to be a church that is lifting up holy hands and is praying for the world around them so that we can live together in harmony. So let's get into that gospel reading. That gospel reading that is one of those that you're just like, you know, Luke, you're the only one, pardon me, Luke, you're the only one who included this story in his gospel, and maybe you shouldn't have. You know, not to pick bones with the Holy Spirit, but this one, we're just constantly like, what is going on here? Because this one is tough. It's difficult. Don't get me wrong. Christianity is not just a 101 level class. Scripture is not just a 101 level class. A lot of times we have to dig in deep and we have to see what's happening in the scriptures. And we have to do that here in this text. And so one of the things that we need to kind of take a look at here in terms of this final leg of the stool is the end of the reading. So at the end of the reading, we know who Jesus is talking to. Jesus is talking to a bunch of Pharisees. And what does Luke tell us about these Pharisees? Well, they think that money is the most important thing. In fact, you could say that they're preoccupied with money, just like the people in that Amos reading, that there's kind of this sense of like, oh, well, that's the only thing that I'm thinking of. I'm going to church and I'm thinking about how to make a quick buck on Monday. It's that kind of a deal. And so as Jesus is telling this story about this dishonest manager, there's a little bit to this that is shocking, perplexing, maybe even something that causes us to wonder, what are you doing? And I think that's purposeful, because I think it maybe reveals something of our hearts. It maybe reveals something of our preoccupations. Because a lot of times, I, and maybe you, read this reading, and we go, this can't be Jesus. Jesus can't be commending this guy cheating his boss. I mean, that's the parable, right? He gets fired and he's packing up office supplies for his way out. He is, you know, he's had the management taken away from him. And as a result of that management being taken away from him, he knows that he's in trouble. He knows that he needs to sleep in somebody's pool house. And so he's going to go to the people and say, hey, I'm going to make you a deal. And that sounds off to us. We recoil at that, because we know of all of the bad things that that could mean financially. We know that all of the things about money in this parable don't work. But then you look at what the servant is commended for. The servant is commended because he cares about not the money involved, but who's going to receive him. He cares about the people. He's, dare I say it, preoccupied with the people. Because he knows that the money is kind of going to go away. And so he's preoccupied with the relationship that's actually going to mean something for him after he's done with the money. And I think it reveals something. I think Jesus told it to reveal that idol that was in the hearts of the Pharisees. I think so often we need Jesus to do the same thing for us. Because so often we're preoccupied. Now, you may not be sitting in church this morning like the people in Amos and trying to think about how to make the next quick buck by cheating somebody, or how you can sell the poor for a pair of shoes or any of those things. But you may have some preoccupations. Maybe they're not money. Maybe they're relationship-based. Maybe they're power-based. Maybe they're suffering-based. Maybe they're family-based. Maybe they are money. But all of us are tempted to being preoccupied by that thing, whatever it may be. And that's what these readings are supposed to be there for. They're supposed to expose that to us, to show us that we do wrestle with those preoccupations, to show us that we do wrestle with those things that take God's place in our lives and become little gods for us. But here's the beautiful thing. God is not preoccupied with that stuff. I mean, God cares about it. God cares about your family. God cares about your money. God cares about your fame. God cares about what you do in your life. God cares about your job. God cares about all of those things. But that's not what God is preoccupied with. Rather, God is preoccupied with you. You. You as a person. And yeah, he cares about all of that other stuff that you care about because he cares about you. And that's in its right order. But God cares about you first. He's preoccupied with people. He's preoccupied with you. And he shows that by sending his only begotten son in order to die for us. Because he's preoccupied with people. He's preoccupied with you. He's preoccupied with your neighbor. He's preoccupied with the barista at Starbucks. He's preoccupied with the person that that was sitting behind the counter at the Circle K when you bought gas this morning. He cares about those people so much that he's preoccupied with them. That everything else gets put on the back burner because of you. And so, as you go out into this week, know that you're going to have the things that pop up in your lives. And know that those things are going to challenge you to be preoccupations. And when those things challenge you, when they tempt you, remember that you have a God who is not tempted, who is not preoccupied with anything but you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.